Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 1, titled The Spiritual Masters, Text 16, translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath a desire tree, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon a throne, upon an effulgent throne. I offer my humble obeisances unto them. This verse doesn't have a purport. I'll read a portion of the purport from text 19. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita offers his respectful obeisances unto the three deities of Vrindavan, namely Sri Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radha Govinda Dev, and Sri Radha Gopinath Ji. These three deities are the life and soul of the Bengali Vaishnavas or the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, who have a natural aptitude for residing in Vrindavan. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas who strictly follow in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worship the divinity by chanting transcendental sounds meant to develop a sense of one's transcendental relationship with the Supreme Lord. A reciprocation of mellows, rasas of mutual affection, and ultimately the achievement of the desired success in loving service. These three deities are worshipped in three different stages of one's development. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu scrupulously follow these principles of approach. Gaudiya Vaishnavas perceive the ultimate objective in Vedic hymns composed of 18 transcendental letters that adore Krishna as Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopijana Vallabha. Madan Mohan is he who charms Cupid, the god of love. Govinda is he who pleases the senses and the cows. And Gopijana Vallabha is a transcendental lover of the gopis. Krishna himself is called Madan Mohan, Govinda, Gopijana Vallabha, and countless other names as he plays in his different pastimes with his devotees. Unquote. Yesterday I read a portion of this purport that pertained to Radha Madan Mohan. So I'll skip that part of the purport and I'll go on to the part where Srila Prabhupada mentions Govinda Dev. When one wishes to render service to the Lord with strong attachment, one then worships Govinda on the platform of transcendental service. Govinda is a reservoir of all pleasures. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the verse by which Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami glorifies Radha Govinda Dev, the second of the main deities of Vrindavan. But since we haven't finished our discussion on yesterday's topic of Madan Mohan, we'll carry on with a bit of that and then we'll move on to Govinda Dev. Just to summarize what we spoke about yesterday, for the benefit of those who were not present here, following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis and their associates established many temples in Vrindavan. And these deities were mostly the deities that had been originally carved under the supervision of Vajranab, the great grandson of Krishna. For many centuries, these deities had remained unmanifest, but they revealed themselves to the Goswamis at different points in time and in different ways and in different places. And eventually the Goswamis established these temples. At the time of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, we had only three temples in Vrindavan: Madan Mohan, Govinda Dev, and Gopinath. So Madan Mohan was the deity of Srila Sanatan Goswami. We discussed briefly yesterday one pastime that is mentioned in the Prema Vilas about how the deity appeared to Sanatan Goswami. And there's another pastime which I would like to mention today, which is slightly different from the narration of the Prema Vilas, and this appears in the Bhakti Ratnakar. This often happens in relation to the pastimes of Krishna and his devotees. In this pastime, it happens in Gokul Mahavan. Sanatan Goswami would also stay there sometimes. He would travel to different parts of Braj, sometimes living in a particular area for a certain length of time, extending to some years even. And then he would go to another place and live there for some time and so on. So one time when he was in Gokul Mahavan, he had this little boy who was a cowherd boy, a local cowherd boy. I think it causes a disturbance if we just come and go. I think we should have this culture of not just walking out in the middle, just few minutes into the class like that. Anyway, so this is, as one sannyasi was joking on a boat trip, that this is the only class in which nobody has walked out of the class. At least not in the first 5-10 minutes. You know, we should be a little patient. And when the time is up, then yes, we can start walking out. But we have to create this culture of sitting and hearing about Krishna, sitting in one place and just hearing. And not just the mind says something, we just woke up. Unless, of course, the temple is on fire or something like that, or there's some emergency. So this cowherd boy came up to Sanatan. He says, "Baba, I want to be with you." So Sanatan says, "But no, you have a family, your parents must be waiting for you, you have to go back home." He said, no, I want to be with you. So Sanatan says, "But see, I don't have any food, I just beg. I take madhukari, and whatever little comes, some chickpea flour, some grams, you know, whatever, some basic food comes, I take it. Sometimes I don't get anything." He said, no, I still want to come with you. So Sanatan Goswami argued with the boy lovingly like this for a while. And then eventually he succeeded in sending the boy back home. He said, no, you can't just come with me like that. You have to go back to your family. Go home. So the boy went home. And that night, the same boy appeared in a dream to Sanatan Goswami and said, "You didn't want me to come with you, but I've come anyway, and I've come to your house." So Sanatan Goswami awoke, astonished, and he opened the door of his room, of his kutir, of his little cottage. And lo and behold, there in front was the most exquisite form of the deity of Madan Mohan, or Madan Gopal, as he was known at that time. He was dazzling and effulgent. Of course, Sanatan Goswami was struck with wonder, and he immediately informed Rupa Goswami. The other Goswamis and other devotees who were present there also rushed there to the spot, and a grand ceremony was done. Everyone was overjoyed to see this deity here. In fact, it is said in local folklore that Madan Gopal, when initially he didn't understand that this was the deity. This boy used to come, and Sanatan used to be very attracted to this boy. He didn't understand why he was so strongly attracted to this particular cowherd boy. And he was very charming, and all the other cowherd boys used to flock around him. And so Sanatan decided to track him down. And he decided to do some espionage activity and to keep a track of where this boy was and where he went and everything. And one day he saw him getting into a temple. It was Madan Mohan's temple. And then he saw that, and he rushed into the temple, and there was nobody except the deity. And then he could understand that Madan Mohan was actually going out for his frolics and pastimes with the cowherd boys and the cows. He would mingle with his friends, and then he would come back at times. So these are the things that happened in Vrindavan. Or rather, one should use a present tense and say, these are the things that happen in Vrindavan. And if we can't see them, it's, as they say, it's our problem. It's not Vrindavan's problem. So these things happen. It's because we don't have the eyes to see Krishna. We don't have the eyes to see these pastimes that we don't understand. That we only see the external noise and the dirt and the sewer, open sewage and the rickshawwalas and the children harassing you for donations and picking your pockets to get whatever they can find and so on and so forth. The heat and the cold and everything else. But behind this covering of yoga maya lies all these beautiful pastimes. It's not that Sanatan Goswami was not able to feel the cold or feel the heat. Or it's not that the sands of Braja didn't burn his feet sometimes in the heat. But they saw beyond the external Vrindavan. And they could see all these pastimes, and they had these relationships with the deities in these most extraordinary ways. So Sanatan Goswami is known as the Sambandha Acharya, as we were discussing yesterday. We spoke about the three stages of realization. And Sambandha, Abhidheya, and Prayojana. So Sambandha refers to the relationship with Krishna. And one develops that relationship by worshipping Madan Mohan. Because Madan Mohan is the presiding deity for the Sambandha aspect, for Sambandha Gyan. So when one worships Madan Mohan, Vigraha, the deity, then naturally one's relationship with Krishna is awakened. One understands who one is. One is the eternal servant of Krishna. So, Madan Mohan Vigraha means, as far as we are concerned, that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. So by worshipping Madan Mohan, we revive that sense of eternal servitude to Krishna. We revive that remembrance of ourselves as becoming constitutionally the eternal servants of Krishna. And that is why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami first invokes the mercy and the blessings of Madan Mohan so that that eternal relationship may be revived. And then eventually he goes on to Govindadev, who is the Abhidheya Acharya, who is the Acharya of receiving service of the devotees. He is the deity who accepts service. Madan Mohan is the deity who establishes our relationship with Krishna, and Govindadev is the deity who actually accepts that service and gives us inspiration to move ahead in the path of Bhakti Yoga. Abhidheya is sadhana bhakti, because that is when we actually engage in active devotional service. In Sambandha, we are trying to still understand who we are. And once that relationship has been established, then we actively engage in devotional service. Gopinath represents the Prayojana Tattva, the ultimate goal of life, and that we'll discuss more of that tomorrow. So these three deities represent Sambandha, Abhidheya, and Prayojana. Now, in relationship to the Shiksha and Diksha gurus, here is an interesting purport by Srila Prabhupada in text 47 of the first chapter of the Adi Leela. And I'll read that. Quote, Srila Sanatan Goswami is the ideal spiritual master, for he delivers one the shelter of the lotus feet of Madan Mohan. Even though one may be unable to travel on the field of Vrindavan due to forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can get an adequate opportunity to stay in Vrindavan and derive all spiritual benefits by the mercy of Sanatan Goswami. Sri Govindaji acts exactly like the Shiksha Guru, instructing spiritual master, by teaching Arjuna Bhagavad Gita. He is the original preceptor, for he gives us instructions and an opportunity to serve him. The initiating spiritual master is a personal manifestation of Srila Madan Mohan Vigraha, whereas the instructing spiritual master is a personal representative of Srila Govindadev Vigraha. Both of these deities are worshipped at Vrindavan. Srila Gopinath is the ultimate attraction in spiritual realization. Unquote. So some very important points here. Not only are the Madan Mohan deities the Sambandha deities, and not only are Govindadev the Abhidheya deities, but the acharyas who worship them, they are also our gurus. And Sanatan Goswami is the Sambandha Acharya. So the Madan Mohan Vigraha represents, is the original deity of Sanatan Goswami. So Prabhupada mentions here that the Diksha Guru, or the initiating spiritual master, is a personal manifestation of the Madan Mohan Vigraha, whereas the Shiksha Guru is a personal manifestation of the Govindadev Vigraha, or the deity. And both these deities are therefore worshipped in Vrindavan. So Srila Madan Mohan were worshipped by Kaviraj Goswami. And when actually Kaviraj Goswami was compiling the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was requested repeatedly by the Vaishnavas at Vrindavan to do that. And then finally he said, he thought to himself that he must go to Madan Mohan and get his blessings. Only if Madan Mohan would give him permission, then he would do that. So he did that. He went up to Madan Mohan and he requested for blessings, and the garland, the flower garland from the neck of Madan Mohan fell down at that very moment. And Kaviraj Goswami understood that to be an indication that the Madan Mohan deity was offering his blessings to him to go ahead. Actually, before the temple was made there, we discussed that yesterday about how the temple came about. Sanatan Goswami lived there on that hill. That hill was called Dvadasha Aditya Tila. Tila in the local language means a hill. Dvadash means 12. Aditya refers to the 12 sun gods. It is said that after Krishna subdued Kaliya in the Yamuna, in Kaliya Hrada, a small lake adjoining Kaliya, adjoining Yamuna, then he was all wet and cold. So then he came up on top of this hill. And at that time, in order to warm him up and to dry him, the 12 suns shone like brightly. And then Krishna was all warm and nice again. So that pastime, because of that pastime, this hill became known as the Dvadasha Aditya Tila. It overlooks the Yamuna. Beautiful view. For those of you who have been to this, to the Madan Mohan temple, you must have gone to this spot where Krishna is said to have actually sat and dried himself under the sun. And you can see the Yamuna. Of course, this is just near the Keshi Ghat, but the Yamuna River used to flow at that time at Keshi Ghat. But since then, the river has wandered off a long distance, practically, I think, half a kilometer or something like that, maybe almost a kilometer at some parts. So the Yamuna has wandered, but still you can see the Yamuna as you stand there. You get a nice glimpse of Vrindavan and Brajabhumi. Sanatan Goswami used to stay there under a tree, and there was a particular part of the tree in which he used to keep his Madan Mohan deity. And nearby was his bhajan kutir. It's still there. So if you go a little further down, behind, there is his samadhi, and his bhajan kutir as well is nearby. So if you want a little quiet place sometimes in the hustle and bustle of Vrindavan, you can go to this place. You'll only have the monkeys for company. But now the Goswamis have thoughtfully put some barrier, some fencing around it, so you can sit inside there and chant your rounds and read and get some inspiration for your Krishna consciousness. After the deities were shifted some centuries later because of the fear of the marauding armies of Aurangzeb, who came and actually destroyed portions of the temple, Madan Mohan was moved to Jaipur, and then from there to Karoli, as we discussed yesterday. And then a new temple was made, and that's called the new Madan Mohan temple. That's near the old Madan Mohan temple. So Madan Mohan deities, it's one of the original deities of Vrindavan, the very first temple that came up in Vrindavan in recent years, in the last 500 years. And now let's come to Radha Govinda Dev. There's also wonderful history, and there are many pastimes connected to this. As with Radha, as with Madan Mohan, originally there was no deity of Radharani. For Madan Mohan, if you remember, the deity of Radharani was sent by Purushottam Jena, who was the son of King Pratap Rudra in Puri. Similarly, when Govinda Dev was found, then there was no Radharani there. So the same devotee, King Purushottam Jena, sent another deity of Radharani. Actually, the deity of Radharani that came for Govinda Dev was the first deity of Radharani that came to Vrindavan, even before the Radharani of Madan Mohan. So he came here, and Govinda Dev appeared here to Rupa Goswami. There are different accounts of how Govinda Dev appeared. Some say that he appeared in a dream and told Rupa Goswami of where he could be found. And Rupa Goswami went and found him. According to other narrations, it happened that a cowherd boy came to Rupa Goswami and took him to a place where a cow every day would go on top of a hill and empty her udders. And so when Rupa Goswami followed this boy and went up and saw the place where the cow was emptying her udders, then she saw, or rather he saw, the deity of Govindadev over there, who was just waiting for Rupa Goswami to come. So of course, Govindadev was also one of the original deities of Vajranab. It is said that these three deities, Madan Mohan, Govindadev and Gopinath, were the first three deities that Vajranab had carved. But you see, Vajranab, being the great grandson of Krishna, had never seen Krishna. Vajranab eventually became the king of Mathura, the whole province. But since he hadn't seen Krishna, how was he to carve? How was he to order the carving of the deities? So it is explained that Uttara, the mother of Parikshit Maharaj, who had seen Krishna, was the one who described the features of Krishna, and accordingly the deities were carved. Some people say that it was the mother of Vajranab, whose name was Usha, the wife of Aniruddha, who actually described the features of Krishna to Vajranab. And accordingly, Vajranab had the deities carved. And none of these were perfect representations of Krishna's appearance. That's how the devotees of Raja describe it. They say that the deity of Madan Mohan resembles Krishna perfectly, but only from the navel or the waist downwards. The deity of Radha, of Govindadev, resembles Krishna perfectly, but only as far as the face is concerned. And the deity of Gopinath represents Krishna perfectly, but only as far as the torso is concerned, that is from the navel up to the neck. So together, these three represent Krishna's form perfectly. And therefore, devotees in those days, and even today actually, they make it a point that every day they must visit at least these three temples. Many devotees try to visit many more temples, the seven main temples, or eight, nine, ten, as many as they can. But at least these three. Because once you've been to these three, then you've seen Krishna's perfect form. Krishna in complete form. And of course, some devotees in Vraja also say that finally, the perfect, 100% form of Krishna appeared with which deity? Huh? Which deity was the perfect form of Krishna? Radha. Huh? No. Radha Raman, that's right. Radha Raman. So Radha Raman is said to be the perfect form, the face, the torso, the lower part of the body, is perfect Krishna, the form of Krishna. So anyway, this is so far is about Madan Mohan, Govinda, Govindadev and Gopinath. So with great joy, Srila Rupa Goswami discovered the deity and he began worshipping. And the worshipping went on for some time. Now there was a general, the deity was found roughly in 1535 AD. And the temple didn't come up for another 55 years. It was only in 1585 that a Rajput, Vaishnava general of the Mughal emperor at Delhi, Man Singh, and the king, the emperor was Akbar. Man Singh used his money, used his finances, some people say 13 lakh rupees or 1.3 million rupees. Now, in those days, 1.3 million was a lot. And so he used that, and it took about 5 years and thousands of masons and artisans and others to construct this beautiful temple made of red sandstone. It's said that some of this sandstone was supposed to be used to build the famous Red Fort in Delhi. So those of you who have been for a little sightseeing in Delhi may have seen the famous Red Fort. So the same sandstone was supposedly used for the building of the Radha Govindadev temple. So Man Singh was a devotee. And actually Akbar also was very favorable to the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan, to even Jiva Goswami. There's a little episode, incidentally I may mention this, that one time in Agra there was some debate between some scholars. And the topic was, who is superior, Yamuna or Ganga? Yeah, a debate on this topic. And there were many scholars, the traditional scholars, they spoke in favor of Ganga. But the Brajabasis, led by Jiva Goswami, there weren't that many Brajabasis at that time anyway, but Jiva Goswami at that time was a foremost scholar of amongst the Vaishnavas. So he went and he made the case for Yamuna being superior to Ganga, and he won the debate. And Akbar, the Mughal emperor at that time, was very impressed and wanted to give some gifts. So he gave a certain amount of land, I think 130 bighas. Bighas is a certain denomination, a measure of land. So he donated that to Jiva Goswami. And then the Radha Govindadev temple was also constructed on that land, I believe. That was before. And then he also gave him, a precious gift. He asked Jiva Goswami, what do you want? And do you know what Jiva Goswami asked him for? He asked him for some paper. For now it's just a matter of us going to a shop and getting a few notebooks or something and we write. And we think paper is something so easily available. But in those days, paper was something that only kings and princes could afford. It was handmade. It had to be made with great difficulty. So it was very, very rarely available and expensive. So Jiva Goswami asked for paper, because till then they would write on palm leaf manuscripts. They had certain kinds of thorns or certain parts of trees which were sharpened in certain ways to make sharp tips. And they had certain leaves. And they would cut into the leaves with these nibs of the twigs. And that was how they would write, many of the Goswamis before. And they had beautiful handwriting. It is said Rupa Goswami also, his handwriting was like pearls, you know, string of pearls. Very beautiful. So this was going on for some time. But the nobility, the royal class would write in special ink on special handmade paper. So then Akbar gave a large quantity of paper to Jiva Goswami. And there are many stories about King Akbar, about how he appreciated Vrindavan and the devotees of Vrindavan. And even though it's not directly connected to Govindadev, but because we're talking about Akbar, I'll just tell you that brief story again. So there was Haridas, who incidentally was the founder of the Banke Bihari temple in Vrindavan. And his disciple was Tansen. Tansen was a very famous musician, probably one of the most famous musicians, classical musicians of India. Even now, if we talk of the previous centuries, the name of Tansen comes to mind. It is said that when he used to sing, nature, he would make nature change. You know, he could sing a certain rag, and then the lamps would light up on their own, just on the strength of his rag. And one time, as he was singing and singing, and he was so carried away by that singing, that the lamps lit up, and his body also was burning with fever because of the heat that was generated by the rag that he was singing so fervently. And because of that fever, something had to be done. So then there was only one person who could do it, and that was his daughter. So she came up and sung Rag Malhar, which is a rag that cools everything down and brings the rains. And then after the rains came, then Tansen's fever kind of cooled down a little bit. So these are all the stories that are spoken about Tansen. So he was also a devotee of Krishna. So one time Akbar asked him, he said, you must be the greatest musician in the world. He He said, no, I'm not, because there's one person who's much better than me, and that's my guru. So who is he? What's his name? His name is Haridas. He said, I don't believe it. I don't believe there's anyone exists who can sing better than you. He said, yes, there is. So he said, where does he live? He lives in Vrindavan. So why don't you call him here? He's not going to come to sing for a king. So he said, anyway, then let's go and hear him sing. He said, he won't sing if he sees you. So he doesn't sing for kings or in front of kings. All right, so then what to do? So we'll hide and then we'll hear him sing. So they hatched a plot. So Tansen, you should go in. I'll stand at the window outside and peek in. And you should sing something, but deliberately sing it wrong. And then he'll correct it naturally. And then I'll be able to hear him sing. So Tansen collaborated in the conspiracy. And they went. And then Tansen went in and started singing a particular rag. And wrong, deliberately. And immediately Haridas said, Tansen, what are you singing? That's not the proper note. That's not the way to sing this. And then he started singing. And as he started singing, he just flowed into the... He forgot how time passed and he got carried away. And he was singing and singing. And Tansen also forgot that the king was waiting outside. He cared less. The king was waiting, anybody was waiting. He was simply transported into ecstasy. And so was Akbar. Even Akbar forgot that he was standing there at the window. And then when the whole thing subsided eventually, and then Haridas and Tansen came back to earth, so to speak. And then Tansen departed, took permission from his guru to depart. And then Akbar said in the local language, phew. So now I can understand why you say that he's the greatest singer. But then Tansen, why can't you sing like him? What's the problem? You can also do it. I'm sure you can sing like him. He said, no, I can't. He said, why not? He said, because I'm singing for the king of India and he's singing for the king of Vrindavan. That's the difference. So Akbar liked that. So although Akbar, he was a kind of a syncretic Muslim. I think that's the word, syncretic, where he tried to form a new religion in which he tried to get the tenets of all the different religions. And he kind of a khichdi, you know. He made a kind of khichdi. He was well-intentioned, but he didn't surrender to Jiva Goswami, unfortunately. He appreciated him, but didn't surrender to him. So he didn't actually get good instructions. But anyway, because of his appreciation for Vaishnavas and because of his donations that he did for devotees in Vrindavan, actually, Jiva Goswami calls him a Vaishnava. And at the Radha Govinda Dev temple, there was an inscription. And Jiva Goswami compiled this Govindam Mandir Ashtakam. And in this, he acknowledges Akbar as being a Vaishnava and thanks him for his generosity and his big heart in helping the Vaishnavas in Braj. So the Govinda Dev temple happened under the patronage of Akbar by the devotion and the funds of Raja Man Singh. So this was seven stories high. The Govinda Dev deity was established. So the Man Singh started constructing this temple in 1585 and it went on for 5 years. So 1590, that is 55 years after Govinda Dev was discovered by Rupa Goswami, this grand temple was built. Of course, Rupa Goswami was not physically present at that time. Now, it so happened that the tyrant king, by this time Akbar had passed on, he had moved on, his generations had gone on. Aurangzeb, his descendant, was the king. And at some point in time, much later, after the temple had been built, Aurangzeb from Agra, he was looking out from the terrace of his building and he saw a temple with lamps lit. And he became very angry, he became curious to know what that building is. And when he knew, when he was told that that was a temple of Krishna in Vrindavan, of Govinda, he became very angry and envious. He was an iconoclast. So he immediately sent his soldiers to break down the temple. So the soldiers arrived there. And of course, the pujaris heard about this. Facebook was there even at that time, so they Twitter, and they immediately understood the impending danger. And they took the deity away to Jaipur. At that time, Raja Jai Singh too, he was ruling there. So the deity came under his care. Meanwhile, the soldiers came to Govindadev and temple, and they went to the top and started breaking down the top stories. And they succeeded in doing quite a bit of that. But after a while, the ground underneath the temple started shaking so violently that the soldiers in terror just fled from the temple and never returned. And Aurangzeb also after that never dared to send any soldiers further. So the structure that we see today of Govindadev temple is a small portion of the structure that was actually existing in those days. So when the Govindadev deity was established, then Mahaprabhu actually had sent Vakreshwar Pandit, his dear associate, most famous for his dancing, his long dancing. And he came. And Vakreshwar Pandit was very hesitant to come because he feared separation from Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu gave him a deity of Krishna with golden complexion playing the flute. He said, so I'm here with you. Normally Krishna is dark complexioned, but this deity of Krishna was golden in complexion. And he said, you worship this deity of mine and you'll never be separated from me. So Vakreshwar Pandit then had that deity installed. So in the main temple, you have Govindadev, or you had, because now the deity is shifted. You had Govindadev, and then there was also this deity of Krishna. There was also a deity of Vrindadevi. And Vrindadevi's deity at the time of Aurangzeb's attack was shifted to Kamyavan, and she is still there. There are only two or three deities of Vrindadevi in famous deities, I mean, in Braj today. And the original deity is of Vrindadevi in Kamyavan. Actually speaking, very few of the original deities are left who were there before, at the time of the six Goswamis. Radha Raman, because he was very small, so it wasn't that much of a danger. And Vrindadevi, she had to be shifted, but she was still in Braj, in Kamyavan. And then there's the Vrindadevi deity in Vrindakund, this is managed by ISKCON these days. And also there was one in one of the Gaudiya Mutts. So that Vrindadevi deity that is who is now in Kamyavan was also here. And presently I think they have the eight-armed Yogamaya form, the deity there. There are two chambers that go down, and you have two temples on either side of the main sanctum sanctorum, or the altar. So anyway, now because of the attack of Aurangzeb, unfortunately, the worship had to be stopped and so on. The deities were shifted to Jaipur. The king of Jaipur very gladly welcomed Govindadev, and he built a grand temple for him within the palace complex. And he built the temple in such a way that from his palace he could see the temple of Govindadev. It's a very famous temple. It's the most famous place in Jaipur. Actually, Jai Singh named this place, the city, not after himself, but after, as a sign of victory that Govindadev had come. Jai means victory. So Jaipur means city, so city of victory. So after Govindadev deity had come. And today the Govindadev deity is very, very popular. And the culture of service to Govindadev is very strong. Although it is coming down because of the effect of materialism, But till today, you will find many, many people rushing to take darshan of Govinda Dev first thing in the morning at the Mangalarati. And people, the businessmen, will not open their shops. Those who have jobs will not go to their place of work. And housewives will not begin their day at home, their cooking and so on, until they've had darshan of Govinda Dev in the temple. So early morning before Mangalarati, you'll find hundreds of people headed, all roads lead to Govinda Dev temple. And then after the Mangalarati is over and all that, then they all head back, and then everything is silent and quiet and the roads are empty again. Everyone's back doing everything else. But they will not begin their day's work till they've had darshan of Govinda Dev. And this is such a beautiful culture. The first thing in the morning we must do is to take darshan of the Lord. And many people do that. In many parts, in many temples, this culture still prevails. It's eroding, unfortunately, but it's still there. And people have this culture that is so strong. It reminds me of one, a real life episode that happened not so long ago. There was this businessman who was a great devotee of Govinda Dev. And he, like the others in Jaipur, he would go every day to have darshan of Govinda. And then he would come back and then he would start his business. He was quite wealthy. He was a cloth merchant or something like that. So he had a lot of merchandise stored in his godown. One day when he came to the darshan of Govinda Dev early in the morning, he suddenly got a message that there was a fire in his godown. So naturally he rushed back, and when he reached the godown, he found that it was a flame, it was a blaze. There was nothing he could do. The fire engines had come and they were doing their work, and he just had to stand and watch. Because when there's fire that is blazing like that, you can't do anything. So he was just standing and watching, and the fire engine people had come, they were doing their work, the hose pipes were on. This is a very recent story. And they were doing all this, and he just looked at it, realized what was going on, got a grip of the situation, saw that the fire tenders, you know, all that doing their work. He walked back to Govinda Dev temple. People, what are you doing? Your godown is burning. It's got all your wealth, all your merchandise, everything. You're going to be on the streets. And you're going back for darshan of Govinda Dev. He said, look, Govinda Dev has given me this. And Govinda Dev wants to take it away. Who am I to interfere? And in any case, there's nothing I can do standing here. The fire engine people are doing their work. Now, what can I do just standing and bemoaning the loss of my merchandise? So might as well use the time, and why should I, be prevented from having the Mangalarti darshan of Govinda Dev? Why should I miss that? Just for the sake of my merchandise getting burnt down? So he went back, completed the arati, the darshan, and then came back. And there are many such stories of devotees, you know, of Govinda Dev. It's a very attractive deity. Govinda Dev deity has many other pastimes as well. There are many things, but what I will continue this discussion tomorrow. We'll spill over when we also discuss Gopinath. But what I thought we'd do today is to sing a song that describes the verse that we read today. I'll repeat the translation. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath a desire tree, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon an effulgent throne. I offer my humble obeisances to them. So we'll sing a Vaishnava song that describes exactly that. Now, before we go on to the song, I'd just like to speak 2 minutes about the Yoga Peet. Many of you in Mayapur have been to the Yoga Peet. Now, the Yoga Peet is basically in Vrindavan, the place where Radha and Krishna meet. And for us, it's the place where we can connect to Radha and Krishna. So the Yoga Peet is a transcendental area that includes The Radha Govinda temple. The Radha Govinda temple is actually at the central part of the Yoga Peet. And in that area of the Yoga Peet, there is Vanshivat, there is Yamuna, there are a couple of other places like that, the pastime places. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. So the Yoga Peet, and this verse that we read today is also a description of the Yoga Peet. So devotees who worship Radha Govinda Dev for inspiration in devotional service, for going ahead, they also are connected to the Yoga Peet. So this verse represents is a description of the Yoga Peet and of the beautiful things that go on in Vrindavan. So this is, that's not Vrindavan. But okay, you can take anything to remember Vrindavan, but yes, can we have the song? Okay. Can we have the translation first, if it is around? Is it there, the translation? Okay. Okay, so this is a song by Narottam Das Thakur. And the translation of this song is, beautiful Vrindavan is filled with Chintamani gems and many jewel palaces and temples. Many regal swans play in the waters of the Yamuna, and in those waters a splendid golden lotus flower grows. In the middle of that lotus is a golden place surrounded by 8 petals. On these 8 petals the 8 principal gopis reside. And in the center, Lord Shyamasundar and beautiful Srimati Radharani sit on a jewel throne. The great beauty of the divine couple and their charming joking and laughter continually showers nectar everywhere. Narottam Das says, I pray that these blissful, eternal, transcendental pastimes of the divine couple may be always manifest in my heart. Okay, so let's sing. Vrindavana Ramya Sthana Divya Chintamani Dhamma Ratana Mandira Manohara. Avrita kalendinire rajahamsa kelikare tahe shobhe kanaka kamala. Madhye hema pitha ashtadale beshtita ashtadale pradhana naika. Madhye ratnasane boshiyachen dui jane shyama sange sundari radhika. Lavanya Rashi Amiya Poriche Khasi Hasya Parihasa Sambha Shani. नरोत्तम दास कोय नित्य लीला सुखमय सदा स्फुरुक मोर मने। वृंदावन रम्य स्थान दिव्य चिंतामणि धाम रतन मंदिर मनोहर। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So please repeat after me the verse once again. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath a desire tree, Shri Shri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon an effulgent throne. I offer my humble obeisances unto them. Shri Shri Radha Govinda Dev ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Gokula Anand ki jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.